And good to have all of our visitors here this morning and everybody who is in attendance. We're going through a series right now titled Faith Makers, and we're talking this morning, the last couple of weeks, about customizing our faith. One of my brother-in-laws, he's a real car guy. And I don't know if we have a lot of car guys here or not, but he's got a really nice ride. And it's a Dodge Challenger. And he's had this, I believe, since high school. It's a kind of an orange, almost a red color. And he's got a black racing stripe right down the middle. He's got those really wide tires in the back for racing. He likes to go down to, I believe it's Vandermeer, and they race other cars in their category. And then in front, he's got the real narrow tires. And this thing is nice. He's taking me for a ride, and it's very, very fast. But apparently for him, not fast enough, because he just put in a new engine, I believe this weekend, and I contacted him, talked with him on Thursday or Friday, asked him if I could share this in my lesson. He didn't have a problem with it. But he had and I asked him what he had in it at first. He said the first motor was a 440, ran about a 13.4, pretty fast for those of you who know cars. The new motor, he said, is a 512 with roller rocker cam, ported and polished Edelbrock heads, whatever that means. I'm not a car guy. Roller rockers, it'll run a 12.2. So this thing is really, really fast. It's a nice car. You may have seen him driving around from time to time in Loveland. He's lived in Loveland, I believe, all of his life. But that thing is really, really, really fast, the Dodge Challenger. And but I was thinking about, you know, that those who love cars and they spend their time, Stan, I know you do, they spend their time on the outside and making it look really nice. I mean, if you looked at his car sitting out there, I couldn't find one thing that I would say you probably ought to change that. You ought to touch that up, or you ought to add this, or, you know, polish that. It looks absolutely like a show car. I mean, it looks perfect. But imagine if they spent all their time on the outside, shining it, polishing it, painting it, having the perfect rims and everything. But you open that door and you get in there, and the interior, the upholstery is just a mess. I mean, it does not work with the outside of the ride. And then not only that, but you pop the hood and you look under the hood, and it's just got an old beater nothing motor in it. I mean, I don't know what that would be. Maybe an old slant six that maybe could run 20 or something like that. I don't know. But spending all your time on the exterior and not building it from the inside. I bet you most car people start from the inside and work their way out. And I think it's the same in faith. We began this building and growing process from the inside out, right? We are built upon Jesus, upon Him, upon the church, upon the Word of God, and we are built to run in Jesus. And that's the idea of customizing our faith. We are all unique in the body of Christ. None of us here this morning have the same ability. Oh, they might overlap, but we're all unique in our abilities. None of us have the same exact strengths. None of us have had the same things that we were told throughout our years of growing up, of the characteristics in our life that are strong qualities, that are maybe leadership qualities or integrity or whatever those things were. We're all different and we're all unique, and that's a good thing. In the body of Christ, church, we are not the same. We are all different. I encouraged us last week to find one word. I don't know if you reflected on your one word or not. I tried. I still don't have one word that I can say. I can name three or four things that I think describe me. But really trying to hone in on one word, that's pretty challenging. Of who we are. Of what our abilities are. What our strengths are. But I think that's a good thing for us to do. And listening back to those voices of old, whether they were coaches, whether they were teachers or parents or grandparents or an authority somewhere that would say something to us growing up that would encourage us in who we are. And that's why if we ever want to really make an influence in our world, and I know we all do, in the church and in our community, look at the lives of these little people. I love mature people who look at little people and see the qualities in their life and they tell them about it. They let them know where they shine. They let them know what they see in them and where they're strong. Not where they're weak, but where they're strong. And they let them know about those things. And I think if we catch on more and more, we grow in those things, who knows the impact and the influence that we will have. We left last week with this idea that we are all in the bodybuilding business. Okay? The church is the body of Christ, and we are all part of the body, and we are all growing, so we are in the bodybuilding business. I want you to turn to Ephesians, because Paul will stress this very idea. Turn over to Ephesians, and this morning we're going to do quite a bit of reading, so get your Bibles ready. Lost a little chunk of my Bible. We're going to read Ephesians. We're going to read a few passages, and I want you to hang in there with me. We're all members of His body, and we're growing, and we're trying to find out where do I fit in the body of Christ? Where can I serve? Where can I grow? Where can I help? Where am I part of this functioning body? And it's a question we all should ask. We all should know that. Paul writes Ephesians. And in Ephesians, I believe this is, Paul is going to say, listen, satisfaction in life is in Jesus. It's nowhere else. The true blessings of life are found in Christ, not outside. He will also show that God, what God's glorious purpose is, and that's us, church. We are God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. That's the mystery that was not revealed for so many centuries and ages. That was God's plan from eternity, but now it's been revealed in and through Jesus. We forget that, I do sometimes, of what we have today. So many wish they would have had what we have. What's been revealed to you and I, we just go on our way and we think nothing of it. So many wish they would have had what we have today. Verse 18, Paul says in chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, called through Jesus, of course. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about, who? God brought about in Christ, when he, God, raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, gave him his head over all things, notice, to the church. But listen to what Paul says here. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So he says, this is where Paul gives us that analogy of Christ being the head and the church being the body of Christ. Every member being part of that body. He'll also say the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 30, I believe. But let's skip down. We get to chapter 2. And Paul will say, listen, you were dead outside of Christ, but now in Christ you are alive. He will look at the Jews and Gentiles. And, you know, Israel, they used to think, the Jews thought, that the blessings of God were only for them. Every other nation and person is excluded, which means us today, we're excluded because we're not Jews. But that wasn't part of God's plan. And that's what it'll say in chapter 2 when you get to verse 16, where he said that he would reconcile them, that would be Jew and Gentile, or Jews and the nations, both in one body. What's the body? The church. Both in one body to God through what? Reconciled through the cross. He'll also tell us in other places we're reconciled through his blood. So through the cross. By it having put to death the enmity. Verse 19, so then we are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are, follow me closely here, follow Paul closely here. You are fellow citizens with the saints. Church, the body of Christ, you are God's household. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Remember 1 Corinthians 3:11, there is no foundation that has been laid other than the one that has already been laid, which is Christ. Christ is the foundation. We're all built upon that. Verse 21. In whom the whole body, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. See who we are? We are the body of Christ. We are this spiritual temple, this very house of God. And we are growing more and more into this. And Paul will stress that in chapter 4. We're going to read that in just a minute, part of that, where he discusses this unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants his people to be a unified people, period. Paul will write to the Corinthians who had horrible problems. He said, I want there to be no divisions among you. I want you to learn how to be a united people, not a divided people. You see, unity will build up, but division will destroy always. We know that in any facet of life, in any relationship. So he's going to talk about the unity. He talks about the oneness of the body. Oh, verses 1. Notice verse 4, verse 3. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body. Church, that's us. There is one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in all. Now he's going to get into the gifts, those areas in the body where we build one another up. The gifts that were given. Let's read these. And we're going to read a few other passages of Scripture because this is not the only place where this is mentioned in the New Testament. Verse 7. But to each one of us, notice, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I got a question here. Whose gift is he talking about? Christ's gift. So he says, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of whose gift? Christ's gift. It's his gift. Verse 8, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, here's the conquering of Jesus, the victorious Jesus. He led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Who gave gifts to men? He gave gifts to men. We didn't give gifts to each other. He gave gifts. You know, I want you to think about nations of old when they would go and conquer other nations. What would happen? The king and his army, they would go and they'd conquer the land. And for what purpose? For power, of course. But they would conquer to take. They would conquer land. They would conquer the people. They would conquer and take the possessions. They would conquer and take the wives. They would conquer and take the slaves. But when Jesus conquered, what did he do? He didn't take. He gave. You see, you and I are here because he gave. Matter of fact, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It is a gift. He gave. And the gifts to the building up of the body, we're going to learn this morning. He gave these gifts. Notice verse 11. How many times can we stress this? Paul says, and he gave some as apostles. And he gave some as prophets. And he gave some as evangelists. And he gave some as pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints, for the working of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So for works of service to build up the church. He gave these gifts. And he mentions those. Until when? Verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Moms and dads, this is the one time we can say, are you there yet? You know, your kids say that when you're on a long trip. On our way to California, the kids were saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Have we attained to the unity of the faith, church? We never arrive. This is the growth. We're always growing. We will never completely be there. There's always new members coming into the body of Christ until the Lord returns. So this is going to go on until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now I want you to notice something about these gifts that he mentions, of those that he gave to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There's something unique to all of them. They all teach. They all speak. Because it is in the teaching and speaking and preaching of the Word of God that the body of Christ is built up. That we learn to serve. That we learn to grow. That we learn how to encourage one another. Now go to Romans 12. Some of you are saying, yes, but I'm not an apostle. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. So where do I fit in? Do we have any prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? We know we have pastors. We know we have shepherds and elders. We know we have evangelists. But I want you to look at chapter 12. And before I read this, there's three passages of Scripture that discuss spiritual gifts, okay? Hang with me. Three passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 that we just read is one, okay? Romans chapter 12 is going to be the second, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is going to be the third. Let me try to simplify this just for a minute. There are two sides. There is one side that we call this the miraculous gifts, okay? And then there's another side that we call the non-miraculous gifts. The miraculous are the things that, the speaking in tongues, and we'll read those in a minute. The miracles and so on. One side today says those are continuing on. We still have prophets. We still have of all these abilities today, the miraculous. Then there's the other side that says no. Jesus gave that ability to the apostles. The apostles gave that ability to those that they laid hands on. But once those people were gone, so ceased all of those miraculous abilities or gifts. That's the basic idea. But I want to challenge you, and this challenged me, because I've learned this one way. I would say most of us in here believe, in the body of Christ here, believe that the miraculous is done away with. Most that I've talked to don't believe that. But I challenge you to go find one passage of Scripture that in the text differentiates between miraculous and non-miraculous. I haven't found one, and if you do, please come show me. I would love it to have been divided into two, the miraculous and non-miraculous. It would have been so simple. But he doesn't. He lumps all the gifts together, all the works of service together, for the building up of the body of Christ. Whatever your gift is. Whatever your ministry is. Whatever your ability is. Start verse 4, Romans chapter 12. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually members of, notice, one another. We're not individually members of ourselves. We're individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace that was... Here's the same thing Paul said in Ephesians. According to the grace given to us. Let each exercise them, if prophecy, according to proportion of his faith. If service, in his service. If teaching, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, or encourage, you could say, in his encouragement. He who gives with liberality. Now, does this mean that, oh, some of us don't have to give because some of us have this gift of giving or encouragement? No. This is an area that we do shine. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We all have to be merciful. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And I'm going to stop there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I need to read all three of these. It's important to try to get an understanding of this and then come back to where we are. Where do we serve in the body? We're all being equipped for the work of service, but where? Where do we serve? In chapter 12, starting in verse 4, Paul says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit," here's the unity of it, "one. There are varieties of ministries." There's many ministries. Do we have a variety of ministries here? We've got a lot. We'll look at a few in a minute. "Same Lord. There are varieties of effects, same God who works all things in all persons. But each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for the good of all of us, not for the good of me or the good of you, but for the good of the body. For to one," verse 8, "is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues." Now, what were tongues? They were languages. They were to teach. They were to edify. Somebody who spoke in tongues could preach Jesus to that person's native tongue. It wasn't just a rambling for people to go, "Wow, she must be a really spiritual person, but I don't know anything she said." Tongues were to edify. They were to build up. They were to teach. To another, interpretation of this tongue. So you had somebody who could interpret what that person was saying. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually just as he wills. Verse 12, "For even as the body is one and yet many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." And then what he does, we won't read any more of this, he will talk about the individual parts of the body functioning together. So the eyeball has a purpose. The eyeball can blink, the eyeball can roll, right? But the eyeball can't walk. The legs walk, the feet walk, there's different parts of the body, and every part is important. You can't say the thumb isn't, or that the arm isn't. "Well, I have my heart, but I don't have my arm." Well, try putting your clothes on without your arms. It gets challenging. That's the analogy we have. And so wherever you are in the body and you feel like, "Man, I'm just not very important." Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You have a place in the body of Christ. You have a place to serve. To build up the body, we have to have the right environment. To build up the body here, church, we have to have the right atmosphere, and I think we all know that. We have to have a place where there is a lot of love, where there is the right environment. We do have a lot of love here. It's one reason I love coming here every week, because of the love that we have in the body. First of all, we have to have an atmosphere where we challenge one another in the body. We don't ever want to be a people who aren't challenged. And if you aren't challenged, I hope you will become challenged. Challenged to serve, challenged to find your place in the body. It may not come overnight. You may not know right now. You can go to www.windsorchurchofchrist.com. We have a webpage, and Jennifer Willenbreck takes care of that and does a fabulous job. It's a great website. But you will go on there and you'll see links up at the top. You'll find different ministries. You'll see women's ministry. You click on ladies' women's ministry and you will find this phrase or this quote that says, there's a place for you. And there is. There's a place for everybody in this body. You will learn about this church, what we do, what we are involved in, the events that are going on this summer and so forth, Vacation Bible School, other things that we are involved in our ministry. So you can go there and learn about the church. You'll learn about our leadership. You'll learn about what we believe. You'll learn about upcoming events. And when we come together, we acknowledge that this is a place where everybody needs to be known. Everybody needs to know that they're important. Everybody needs to know our name. So this is the place where we come and we befriend one another and we grow together. Not only do we know each other's name, but this is a place where everybody has, again, a place in the body of Christ. A place where everybody is challenged to serve in the body. Anything you can do. Is there anything you can do here? Could that be your gift? You see, sometimes we have this idea that I'm waiting for a voice from heaven to say, Sally, this is your gift. This is the one thing you can do for the church. I think we might be waiting for a long time. Are there things here you can do? There are some things you do very well. But are there other things when opportunities come, when you hear about somebody's life, when you see a need to give, when you see somebody who has just been in an automobile accident, when you see a family that is down and out, could you build up the body? That may be your gift. Do you have the money to give? Some of you give so much. It's amazing. And that is in ministry. That is a gift. Give. Give. Those of you who are encouragers and you shine in encouragement, step it up and encourage more and more. Excel still more, whatever your area is. What can I do needs to be the question that I ask. Don't wait for God to just boom down the voice. It doesn't mean that I don't think we will find our area where we shine the most. I think we can. There are so many various ministries. We also have to be in an atmosphere where there's forward thinking when we come together. Church, we can't stop our thinking right now. We're just for right here and right now. We're not a right here and right now people only. Yeah, we live in the moment. But I think we live for something else, don't we? I think so. We get into the idea of heaven here. We live the promise of eternal life through this life, right? And so we have to have this forward thinking, and we have to be challenged with this forward thinking. This is why unity is so important here. We got to be of one mind as we move forward in our thinking. Jesus will address this in John 17 in his prayer. Peter in 1 Peter 1:13 says, listen, fix your hope on the grace, what? To be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. This is our hope. This is what our minds are fixed to. Go back to Acts chapter 17. We have to be challenged with forward thinking. This means I need to challenge us with forward thinking. Our leaders need to challenge us with forward thinking. We need to look to the future generation of this church. Who are we? Who will we become? When our grandchildren and their grandchildren, if they're still here, what's the church going to be like? That's the way I need to think in the body of Christ and the building up of the body of Christ. Forward thinking is important for us because, listen to what Paul says, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. That's change mind, change direction and action. Because he, God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man. Who is that? Jesus, right? We know that by the remaining part of this verse. Whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So God is going to judge the world through this man at the appointed time, Jesus, whom he raised from the dead. So we need to make sure that we have this forward thinking, that we're looking to that time and living our lives accordingly. We have to be, thirdly, an environment where there is enthusiasm, right? The Greeks called this entheos, God within. It's a marvelous thought. People who have enthusiasm have God within. Now, they didn't mean Jehovah God, this God that we believe in. But you've been around enthusiastic people, and this is the way we need to serve. Because you see, in the unity that we have in the body, It is not automatic. Love is not automatic. Love is a choice. To be unified is a choice. It's a choice of us all. And it has to do with what we focus on and what we say and what we do. Remember in Romans 12:11, Paul said, fervently love one another. Fervently. That word is like be on fire. Today we say, well, we're volunteers, so you know what you get for volunteer work. Well, you know what? I've heard through history there were men and women who gave their lives for this nation and your freedom, and that was volunteering. Fervently. We're to love one another fervently. What we do to serve in the body, we are to do fervently. Next, an atmosphere of influence. Find people you connect with. Hopefully somebody here you can connect with in the body. Your areas of interest. Mentors. We talk sometimes about mentors. Who are your mentors? We all have different mentors. Our ultimate mentor is God and His Word first. That's the first place. We know it builds faith, brings godliness, breathes life. Jesus even said in John's Gospel when it was recorded that the words that He spoke, He didn't speak on His own initiative, but He got those words from God from heaven and He spoke them to us. Directly from God Himself. So the Word builds up. But you know, we can learn from books too. I don't know if you're a reader or not, and if you are not, I encourage you to read broadly. Filter it all through the Word. Read. Somebody said those that don't read aren't any better than those that can't read. If you can read, read. It'll make you better wherever you are in the body. It'll grow you. It'll make you richer and deeper and fuller. Someone said reading is food for our brain. If that is true, what are we nourished on? What are we feeding on? Again, ultimately needs to be the Word of God first, right? It expands us. People are mentors. Find people here. Learn from them. I think this is how God intended it to be for the older to teach the younger. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8. The older women teaching the younger, and even the older men teaching the younger. That's the way the body is to grow. I'm going to pick on Shirley for a moment. She didn't know I'm going to do this, but Shirley is a great example of this to me. Thursdays. I'm not sure which day. Anyway, she takes Kiana Mitchell, Sarah and Claire Willenbrett, and Carly over to her house, and they sew. You think, well, that's fun, but I love that Carly goes over there. The thing that I love the most is that it's far more, I know, than just sewing. These little young girls are learning from a godly woman. They're learning how to act. They're learning how to learn. They're learning how a woman acts, how we are to be, how a Christian woman goes through her daily life. And so I love that. And that's something we need to see here in the body in order to grow into the unity of faith until we attain to that fullness of Jesus. Lastly, and I'll close with this. Wherever your area is to serve, think about where you serve. Think about where you can meet a need. And then do something purposeful every day about it. Every day, do something purposeful. Now, that might just be planning. That's okay. Might just be thinking about it, praying for them. Whatever it is in the body, do something purposeful every single day in the body of Christ. Let's go to Ephesians 4, and this is my conclusion, because I think Paul wraps it up better than I do, and it's time for me to be quiet. Remember, we're growing in our faith, we're finding our place in the body, and we need to be in an atmosphere and environment where this growth can take place, where there is a psychological safety here and a trust. And we can build each other and grow. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, Paul says, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted together and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Find a place in the body. Be part of the body. Build the body up. In Acts chapter 2, those that received the word of God that was preached and were baptized were added to the body. And if you are not added to the body, I hope you will consider this today, because you will become part of Christ Himself, His very body. And you will live that eternal life that God has promised. That's the lesson. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, and if we can encourage you in any way this morning, would you come as we stand, as we sing?
Encamped along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers rise,
and press the battle air.